Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Next guest is the world's best-selling non-fiction author for children. What an incredible sentence that is. He's described his horrible histories as history with the nasty bits left in. And from that success came the hugely popular TV show, which I've already played the opening theme tune to. It was a film, books for adults, and a live stage show as well. It's coming to the Olympia Theatre in Dublin next month in June. With all the subversive sense of humour and the disdain for the establishment that we all love, Terry Deary, author of Horrible Histories, is on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Very well. And I believe you're in excellent form because it's looking very good for you on the charts at the moment.
Yeah, my adult book called A History of Britain in 10 Enemies went to number one in the big chart, Sunday Times listing. So thrilled, yeah.
Fantastic. Congratulations. And
Thank
Derek,
you
would have beaten some of the posh schoolboy historians in that very chart, Terry, which makes it more satisfying.
Don't get me started on the posh schoolboys. Don't.
Oh, you've come to the right place this morning. And that's the adult book, and the 10 enemies are Romans, Vikings, that kind of a thing, I presume?
Yeah, and it was originally called Cruel Britannia, and the publisher changed it to 10 enemies, and I only had 9. And he said, maybe you can put in Ireland.
Yes!
So I did.
You did? Okay, great. Well, that's on my list for the holidays for sure. A Cruel Britannia, that was a fun title. But they didn't like it.
I thought it was nice. It was basically an attack on nationalism, which we've got a lot of problems with in Britain, of course.
Yes.
Trying to take over and saying how stupid it really is and how really everybody is our brothers. We are all human, and this is overlooked in this national thinking. But I get a lot of abuse from the right wing who, when I was writing it for children, were saying I was poisoning the minds of children. Oh, good.
Good, that's the idea. Poison them against what, says you. But I love how you fill it with anecdotes and interesting information, and it's fact-based and it's fun, and that's the best way to digest history, really, isn't it?
Yes, you've got to engage somebody, because if they aren't engaged and entertained, they're not going to take on board the messages I want to give them. So yes, it's got to be funny and fun. And in fact, the History of Britain in 10 Enemies was a sort of horrible histories for grown-ups.
Yeah.
And I meant it to be serious. And a friend of mine was saying, yes, we laughed out loud lots of times. What? You laughed out loud? He said, yeah, you put jokes in. I said, no, I don't. Yes. Look, on page 56, you say Lord Nelson was a little fella. In fact, he was so small, his family tree was a bonsai. And then I just had to say, oh, okay.
You just couldn't help yourself.
In.
Yeah, you couldn't help
I
yourself.
I couldn't help myself.
But
no.
the great thing about you, and it's the mastery, is that you know how to write. You're a really, really good writer, and that makes you, it makes your history sing, doesn't it? And that's the key, I presume, to getting the kids sit up and laugh along.
I like to think so, that school textbooks are written by historians, mm-hmm. went to university, find a language which suits universities, but doesn't suit kids. They wouldn't know a kid if it jumped up and bit them on the kneecap. So I'm a children's author with a lot of fiction titles, and I write appropriately for the children.
They love the lavatorial facts and exploding people and all of the various... They love kind of fevers and black deaths and things like that, don't they, the kids?
Well, I think adults do as well. A lot of them say, my kids like horrible histories, but I like reading them too. And last year, the last one to come out was A Horrible History of Toilets, which was great fun.
Perfect. That was exactly where. Has there ever been occasions, because obviously history is very dark, as we know, occasions where even you decided this is too upsetting to include or joke about?
Yeah, but it's interesting that when they did the television series, they took my book, sat around the table and handed the sketches out to different writers.
Yeah.
And they came to World War II and they went round the table allocating the sketches. And they came to the middle 8-10 pages and there was silence. And they said, oh, of course, we can't do the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And they all agree, oh, no, we can't do that. But my book can. And I think that's quite important.
Why is that? Why is the difference that they found it was too much for television, but your publishers were quite happy to put it in the book?
I think it's CBBC are very sensitive about things like this, getting the wrong slant on it or whatever. You don't make a joke of it. And in fact, in the middle of Horrible Histories, I don't think I did make a joke of it. No. There are lots of serious pieces in it, but they felt in television they had to treat every story as a joke, and I don't.
I see what you mean. So they couldn't break away the tone like you do in the books, because I've heard you narrate the Irish ones where you don't crack any jokes about the famine, but there's loads of jokes either side of it on other topics that soften the blow.
Of course there are, yes. These are human stories. I always say, and my publishers criticise me, I'm not a historian. I don't do history. I do stories about people, human behaviour, and it's endlessly fascinating and very often funny.
Endlessly fascinating, yeah. Now, as we know, men are obsessed with the Roman Empire, Terry. You believe we have the Romans all wrong, don't you?
I came across this quote before, and I don't know where they get it from, because I certainly don't sit at my desk and think about the Roman Empire very often, even though it's just up the road, Hadrian's Wall.
Yeah.
That was some sort of strange report that came out, and I'm not sure I agree with it. But I don't. I must be a bit of a freak, eh?
Well, I suppose it's the Hollywood treatment of the Empire.
Yeah.
It's violent masculinity, which seems to appeal to a cohort of men at the moment. Not everyone.
Doesn't it?
But it does. Your view of the Romans, what is it?
My view of the Romans? Yeah, I get into trouble for this because schools teach that the Romans were a great civilization.
Yeah.
And they weren't. Well, what civilization would put people in the marina to be killed with 50,000 spectators cheering and enjoying the spectacle? That no other empire nation has done that. Killing humans for sport. How can you call them civilized?
I presume that means you love the Greeks then, because they were a very thoughtful, civilized people.
I don't love anybody except the Irish. Every single person is different. It's hard to clump them together and say, this particular era was good, that one was bad. Let's take the individual stories, and especially the poor, because the heroes of history are Mr. and Mrs. Peasant. They're the most important.
They're just the normal, plain people who are living under these establishments. They're your heroes.
My heroes.
You've a similar take, don't you, on the British Empire? And I searched your name in the Daily Telegraph, and it didn't disappoint. Horrible Histories author loathes the British Empire with a passion. He says there's nothing brave or courageous. They said this as though it was a bad thing.
How on earth can anybody justify the British Empire? You know, they went out and used the machine gun because they had the Industrial Revolution, the weapons, and wiped out people. There are things which they don't teach you in schools. For example, the Tasmanians. Would you like to ask a native Tasmanian what they think of the British Empire?
Yeah.
No, because 60 years after the British landed, they were all wiped out. That was genocide. Nobody uses that word with regard to the British Empire, but it's true.
Extraordinary. Where did this view of history of yours, is it informed by growing up, which home was Sunderland?
Sunderland, centre of the universe,
yeah.
With the world's greatest historian, the Venerable Bede, was born about a mile from where I was born.
Oh.
So Sunderland has two great historians, eh?
Two great bards of Bede.
But I don't know where this came. Oh, yes, it came from. I'd written a Father Christmas joke book, you know, what was Tarzan's favourite Christmas song? Jungle Bells, Jungle. I didn't say they were great jokes, but it was a huge hit. So the next year they said, will you do a history joke book? And I found some, where did the French buy their guillotines? In the shopping centre and things like that. And they said, these jokes are even worse than the Father Christmas ones. Would you like to put some facts in? And I'm not the historian. But I researched them and found, actually, the facts were more interesting than the jokes. So I had to make myself become a historian.
And the guillotine, you get great gags out of that, don't you? Well, is this something Mr. Guillotine invented, an apparatus that removes your head and gives you kind of an intake of fresh air? I think is one of them.
No, he wanted it to be painless. That was the problem.
Oh, right,
you know,
okay.
He said, you know, these people have to be executed, but let's not hack about them with an axe. And so he came up with the guillotine. And then he had to test it because he didn't want to put a live human on and for it to sort of half succeed. So they went to the local mortuary, picked up corpses, put them on the guillotine and chopped the heads off. And then I thought, this is actually fascinating.
That is fascinating.
Could you do that? could I do it? Pick up a corpse, cut off its head, pick up the bits and carry them back. And this is what history should be. It's measuring yourself against people in the past. Who are you? Who were these people? That's what's fascinating about history.
That's empathy, basically, isn't it? And this is what you experienced growing up. Your dad, did he work in a butcher shop? Did he have his own butcher shop in Sunderland?
He had his own butcher shop, yeah. The family came over from Ireland in the famine to work in the glassworks in Sunderland. And they were a bit rough. But my dad got himself out of that with the help of my mum and set up a business. And because there was no childcare back in the 50s, I would go into the butcher shop on Saturdays, school holidays, and make the sausages, sweep the floor, scrub the block. And I grew up surrounded by the most immense poverty in Sunderland.
What did it look like to your young eyes?
It was slums. They were terraced rows of houses, blackened. Some of them had no doors on. Some of the kids had no shoes. And some of the people smelled terrible. In fact, the whole area did. Mm. And it changes your life. It shapes your life.
It does. Children with no shoes. What decade is this we're talking?
50s, early 50s. It was just after the Second World War when there were bomb sites left, right and centre. And the children might have shoes for school. But on a summer weekend, you just see them running up and down the street with no shoes.
And it also shapes your view of schools today, doesn't it? That you're not a huge fan of this rigid curriculum and the kids and what they're taught in schools.
Yeah, the problem is that this curriculum is written by Whitehall, some muppets who sit in offices and say, we think the children should be learning this in Newcastle, Sunderland, Gateshead or wherever. And they don't know because they've never been there. And the poor teachers, you've got to feel sorry for, they have a curriculum imposed on them by the Muppets in London, who, as you say, went to public school. But don't get me started.
We won't get you started.
So, yes.
But what would you do? Yeah. How would you improve that?
Oh, I would remove the national curriculum for a start and let the teachers, there are some brilliant teachers out there, let them teach what is appropriate to the children in their class and the individuals in their class. Mm. And this will be coming because of modern technology and AI. You can't focus on the individual child. So there is hope for the future.
Well, I think of it, Deary being your last name, which is a common name here in Ireland. That is that the name that came from Ireland to Sunderland, or have you traced that?
Yeah, from Donegal.
Yeah. From Donegal, yeah.
For the Irish, there was a Father John Deary in Donegal, who was hanged for being a rebel about 1600.
Oh, wow.
And I thought he could be one of my ancestors, but then I realised, being Catholic priest, he couldn't be one of my ancestors, but he might be related to them, I'd like to think.
He could have been a priest in the family. And there was a rebel in the family, so it's come down 400 years plus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a writer, and it just comes naturally to me. And I put that down to my Celtic genes.
For sure, for sure. It wasn't an overnight success. You'd written a couple of books before that. When did Horrible Histories really land for you as this sensational phenomenon?
1995. They published the fifth in the series, which was called Blitz Brits, and it just happened to coincide with the 50th anniversary of the end of World War II.
Right.
And bookshops were looking for promotions for the kids. They had the standards, Carrie's War, Goodnight, Mr. Tom. And suddenly along came this new book, Horrible Histories, Blitz Brits. And it sold like hotcakes. And I was sitting watching television, an afternoon show with Griff Rhys-Jones called Bookworm. And along the bottom, there were ticker tapes. And one of them said, this week's best-selling children's book is Horrible Histories by Terry Deary. And I just cried out in amazement to my wife, who was cooking dinner in the kitchen. Oh, look at that. And she came running through from the kitchen. What's the matter? I said, I'm number one bestseller. She said, oh, is that all? I thought there was something wrong.
Brits Blitz. That's 30 years ago this year, that 1995 moment. And here you are on the top of the charts still.
Here I still am. Well, with adult, I've had to move into adult books. You know, Horrible Histories are slowly going down. 32 years has been a good run, but I've got to move on to adult fiction and non-fiction.
And that's what you, and we've already talked about the 10 enemies of Britain. What's the other one that you're working on? I think this is a dream of yours for a long time, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. I only ever read murder mysteries, detective stories.
Really?
And I've always wanted to write one, you know. And this one is called Actually, I'm a Murderer. And it's released on the 12th of June, so about 3 weeks' time.
Very soon.
And I just can't wait. Yeah.
And who is your... Have you got a detective as the central character, or what are you doing?
I've got three. Oh. I've got the murderer, who is a professional assassin. I've got the police, who is a police woman, who is suffering all the prejudices of 1973. Uh-huh. And I've got a young actor who becomes a suspect and helps to resolve the crime. So there are three voices going through the story.
Oh, you said it in the 70s. Nice idea.
1973, it's a sort of story of Dr. Faust with jokes in, but he makes a pact with the murderer in 1973. Of course, you're telling the story in 2023. Will the murderer come back and, like Faust, claim his soul, claim his life? Wow. So that is the overarching mystery. But there's also a couple of murders in the story.
And loads of fun. So that's Actually, I'm a Murderer. This really is an empire you've built here, isn't it? You've got the Horrible Histories, which will continue selling, and they're printing, they're cartoons, children's shows. However, you're not looking for an OBE or a knighthood or any of that business from the British royal family.
I object to you calling me building an empire.
I thought you'd like that.
And I rather object to anybody offering me an award with empire in the title.
Like
Order of the British Empire. You know, no, nobody's ever mentioned that, so that is not on the cards, no.
It was mentioned because I think you've turned down a few engagements, have you, with British royals?
Yeah, Prince Charles once wrote me a personal letter inviting me to address a group of teachers of history and English. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm not a historian and I'm not an English educationalist. I'm afraid I can't really do it, in all honesty. Oh, and somebody called Tony Blair was doing a Cool Britannia, and he wanted to make himself look good, and he invited pop groups to go to Downing Street, as if he was honouring them, but in fact, he was making himself look cool. And he did the same with children's authors, and I just put the invite in the bin, because it's not my job to make a politician like him look good.
You're a cynical soul, really, at the heart of it all.
No, I'm not cynical. I'm realistic. I can see through the way people get into power and stay in power by manipulating other people, and I'm not for manipulating. I don't think that makes me cynical. It makes me a realist.
Okay, I'll take your point there. You've got loads of fans getting in touch with us. How and when did the idea become commercial? Well, we just went through that. That's from Gary, another fan. My son's primary school teacher introduced his class to Horrible Histories. To this day, my son loves history. He's now 30. Great work.
Yeah, I get endless emails from people who say, I'm going to university to study history because of your books. And my standard reply is, don't blame me, mate.
Very good. That is really lovely, though. Another one, having two boys, Horrible History is a huge hit in our house. In fact, tidying up this morning, I have Horrible History of the World on. Terry's incredible how he's unlocked how to make history fun and engaging for kids and the adults. I often have my mid-afternoon cup of tea to coincide with the afternoon episode on RT2, which is Irish television. And Mr. Deary is a genius.
I don't think I've been caught, not in our house anyway.
Please,
have you not got any negatives? You know, can I have some negatives, please?
We look
for those.
Because
you only learn from Chris. You know?
Thank Terry and all the Horrible Histories team for their immeasurable contribution to teaching kids about history. Rarely a day goes by without my teenage daughter singing a selection of songs. This is from the telly series King of Bling, Parachutey, my own favourite, The Four Georges, an enduring masterpiece of television. That's from Kira and Edie. Or is it Eddie? I think it's Edie, isn't it? Edie, isn't it? E-D-I-E. And I love the Dickens one to the tune of what sounds like The Smiths. Charles Dickens, brooding.
Yeah.
That's a nice one.
The people who do the television are geniuses in their own right. And I owe them so much. Yeah.
You're also responsible, it says here, for developing many kids' sense of humour. I think that's an important thing to point out, along with the history. is informing their...
I think it's very important.
Yeah. Why do you think a sense of humour is important for youngsters these days, Terry?
In a world of wars, poverty and plague, to get somebody coming along and looking at human behaviour and thinking about human behaviour and in a funny way to engage them and then hit them with the serious bits, the Holocaust, the famine in Ireland and so on. You grab them with the humour. Shakespeare did it. He would do a serious tragedy and he'd throw in a comic scene to keep people engaged.
Yeah.
And maybe I'd do it that way around, you know.
I don't know if this is a setup for a gag. Rory says, ask Terry how much older Newgrange is than the pyramids. Or is it someone criticising it?
I'm not a historian, for goodness. The answer is, look it up on Google.
You can't win against you, you see, because comedy is a great diffuser and it just pulls the rug from under people.
Well, you're laughing anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Listening to Terry Deary brings me back to the late 90s as a child, True Disaster Stories and other true titles, which were so good as a 12-year-old.
So. Yeah, that's what really... I mean, I'd written 50 children's novels and then I came up with the True series, True Disasters, True Crime, True Horror, True Mystery, True Monster, and they were such successful books, they allowed me to give up the day job and take up writing full time. Once I was free to write full time, publishers started to come to me, will you write the Father Christmas joke book and then history joke book, which became Horrible Histories. So yeah, that I do, I'm so pleased somebody remembers those books.
Oh, fantastic. And the day job was teaching, wasn't it?
I then went into arts administration because I'm a professional actor. People try to tell me that I'm a successful author or writer, and I say I'm not. I failed in my first two career choices. Okay. So what does that make me? My first career choice was to be a country music singer. My second one was to be an actor. My country music started in Ireland. For my 11-plus exam, my mother gave me a treat in the summer and took me to a holiday camp just north of Dublin in Skerries called Red Island. And the entertainer that every evening was a country music singer, just him and his guitar. And I fell in love with country music thanks to that trip to Ireland.
Wow. It is the home of country.
And it pulled Red Island down since I gather, you know, that holiday camp no longer exists, but it left its legacy.
There are other camps. Country music camp, that would go very well these days. Terry Deary, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks a million for chatting to us this morning. And good luck with your debut adult novel at the tender age of, is it 79?
I'm 79 and a half, yes.
And a half. That's very important.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, the business for us today, Horrible Histories live on stage, coming to Dublin, The Terrible Tudors and The Awful Egyptians, all that fun, live on the Olympia Theatre stage, 18th to the 22nd of June this year. Terry Deary, have a lovely day.
Thank you, and you, all the best.